This begins our Vents Day segment, your weekly chance to vent your spleen politely on a couple of topics in the news. We pick the topics, you provide the opinions. This week, we're talking about a couple of big ones, climate change and campaign cash. First, to climate change, there are frequent cautions not to interpret a period of weird weather as a sign either confirming or denying climate change. But when Medford hits a high temperature on Monday, 26 degrees above the average for the date, Eugene set a record 22 degrees above average, and even Reading ran about 20 degrees hotter than quote-unquote normal, that is by definition not the climate most of us have come to know. We have to be careful here, I understand that, so we don't get lumped in with the members of Congress who brought snowballs into the Capitol to prove that climate change is a hoax. But it does give us a chance to talk about things like the recent report from NOAA, the parent of the Weather Service, debunking the idea of a hiatus in global warming. So let's get your take on weather and what you've seen lately, and climate, what you see over time. Are there things you're seeing now that you simply can't remember ever seeing? Can you remember a point at which you became convinced of climate change, or convinced it was, in fact, bunkum? So how do we move ahead with the information we have on climate change, or is it too late? 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Topic two this Vents Day is campaign spending. The Oregon legislature is still working on a pair of bills that could limit campaign contributions at the state level. Notice it's a proposed limit on contributions, not on spending. The Oregon Constitution makes it hard to apply such limits, so there's a bill to change the Constitution and a separate bill to set the limits if that one passes. Oh, Oregon voters have to approve constitutional changes, so there's a major piece. And then there's the whole issue of getting around the federal Supreme Court ruling identifying speech as money. So first of all, yes for limits or no? Is it a more the merrier situation for you with cash? Are the states appropriate places to find some working space on limiting the money in politics? Or is this just a useless exercise? Should the real effort take place in amending the federal Constitution? Campaign cash, climate change, our discussion topics on Vents Day. Back with your phone calls and emails in 1 minute. Let's go first to Katie in Arcata. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. Hi, Katie.
Hi, good morning. I'm a nurse. I live in Arcata, California, and I moved up to Humboldt County in 1974 to go to Humboldt to get my nursing degree. And every morning at 6 o'clock, I had to be at the hospital in Eureka. And there's a nice little stretch of land, Highway 101, that goes from Arcata to Eureka. It's about 12 miles. And it was flooded. For the first 5 years I lived here, it looked like you were driving on a lake. You know, it was always, always, always underwater, and they had to move the cows out of the fields, and I haven't seen that for I can't tell you how many years. We don't flood the bottoms anymore. They're now just kind of, they're still grazing area, but they're dry, and the Mad River used to cross the Mad River and the slough. The Mad River hardly has any water in it. It'll be gone in a month. It'll be a trickle. And the slough is just tidal. But the wildlife has changed on this drive as well. You used to see tons and tons and tons of egrets and waterfowl and ducks. Not anymore. You see lots of crows and ravens. I don't know if crows and ravens flourish in drought, but there's a lot more of them around than the wild birds that we used to see around here.
So when you look at the changes, Katie, do you think in terms of drought, or do you think in terms of climate change, or a little bit of each?
Well, you know, I guess I'm progressive. I think it is, the fear in my heart is that it is climate change, that we won't get it back. We went to Sacramento last weekend, and it was driving around Clear Lake and stuff. It's everywhere. You know, it's not just localized to this area. California is just one big dry state. Southern Oregon, we go there all the time. I think it's climate change with the ice cap of the, you know, with the topping of just a dry season that's been going on way too long.
All right. Thanks for the observations, Katie. Appreciate those. Very good to hear from you. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. You're welcome to vent yourself, vent your thoughts on climate change and what convincing you've had already or still need, and campaign cash and how we regulate that. Oregon is considering some statewide limits, but just sort of in the talking stages at this point. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange to talk about either or both at 800-838-3760, 800-838-3760, or jx@jeffnet.org. I'm glad that she brought up the egrets, because I was thinking that when you think about things that help you decide whether or not you truly do trust the reports about climate change, birds are a big one. I've talked to a fair number of people on the program about migratory birds and birds they are seeing. These are people who pay attention to lots and lots of birds, seeing birds they didn't used to see because they're actually ranging farther north now. Is that a temporary thing? That probably is not the case from what the scientists are telling us. Was there a moment when you remember being convinced of climate change? Are you still unconvinced? What is the moment you're waiting for? Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Bill and Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hi, I'd like to talk about climate change and campaign funding. First off, I'm a transplant from Pennsylvania outside Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
My neighbors I grew up with was on farming the same farm, the family for 150 years, the town's named after them. And this is the first year in the history of 150 years with their family that they're not planting their fields.
Really?
There's no rain. A creek I used to swim in, it was 12 feet deep, is like a foot and a half puddle. And he's going into truck farming and just going to grow some vegetables and water it from his well, because in Pennsylvania you don't have to irrigate because you have a nice thunderstorm every week up till this year. There's no water for the farmers. They're not even planting seeds. And as far as campaign funding, I have a really novel idea. What if we could only spend money as far as advertising on television or radio? They could only spend money if for debates. And they could spend as much as they want, but they'd have to pay for debates. And even if the guy they wanted to debate didn't have the money, he'd have to pay for them to debate. And you'd have to have a minimum of three people debate or more, and up to five if there's candidates enough to do it.
All right, so no commercials allowed, but you could spend that money as much as you wanted on debates.
Right, because they're really hard for them to lie when they're being asked questions in front of the American people instead of just lying and spending all this money on lies. On campaigns, like the Republicans said, and Bush said that, if you tell people something long enough, which costs a fortune, they'll start to believe it. And that's one thing Bush said, and it's obvious. I mean, the money buys our politics now.
All right, Bill, thanks for the thoughts. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Our topics are money and politics and climate change. The specific focuses are money and politics in Oregon, because Oregon's considering a resolution that would put a vote to the public about changing the Constitution to allow some limits on contributions for races within the state of Oregon. The broader focus, obviously, is the whole idea of, is money, in fact, speech, as the Supreme Court has identified for the better part of 45 years now. And the other topic, of course, climate change. The discussion recently about the fact that the climate change does appear to be not on hiatus. That's the latest report about that. And just in general, whether you view, like, the heat waves we've had around the region this week as an indication of something bigger, or if it's just a thing that just happened this one time. Join us on the exchange with your thoughts, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Brad in Ashland, welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Thank you, Jeffrey. We have no winter, and then in spring we get summer. We hear a radio report about Mount Shasta having no business for 2 years. Same thing for Mount Ashland. All that segues, I think, very well into the so-called climate change discussion. The areas of the world that are hot and dry, like our Southwest, are going to get hotter and drier. There's going to be more fires, more droughts. Areas like our eastern United States are going to have more violent storms and big ones. The sea is rising. All this is coming true, only faster than the scientists have been predicting. We're taunting a huge methane release from frozen ground in the north, Siberia and our own north, that would release far more climate change driving, forcing mechanism, the methane, and create tipping points, which we might not be able to recover from. So when all this is happening, and then we talk about it as climate change, it's a new word. Climate change is ambiguous. It says nothing. It's kind of like that argument that the weather is always changing. Well, yes, it's always changing. Or God only controls the weather. Well, maybe so, but the weather is changing, and it's changing for the hot. I like the term global warming, because that is what's putting more energy into all the systems. And we should leave the ambiguity behind and admit what our responsibility is, that we're continuing to follow an industrial system that is selfish and greedy and polluting, And so global warming makes more sense to me.
I'm glad you brought the point up about the terminology, because it was only last week when we had the authors of Spinglish on, you know, the combination of English and spin, that they pointed out that Frank Luntz, the Republican pollster, was the one who decided the term climate change would be less scary to people and more easily deflected than global warming.
Right, exactly. And I did catch that. I didn't catch Frank Luntz's name, so I couldn't refer to him while I was talking here. But that's the trickery that they want. They make it as though it's a controversial thing to talk about global warming, as though talking about it is the problem instead of addressing it. They say things like no one event can be attributed to climate change. Well, that leads us to say don't dare notice any and all of the signs that are pointing to this enormous global warming problem that we're upon. The Republicans across the board have failed to talk about this in our local area and nationally. There's only one or two in the national field that is even beginning to talk about it. They're spokespeople for the industry that wants to continue to generate this trouble for us. So I think we're all caught up as a society in avoiding the truth and avoiding our responsibility. I was recently in North Carolina, and I was in a small town in western North Carolina. There's an enormously beautiful railroad that goes by there, a wide track, very flat. And a train came by that had 100 cars of coal in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that all that coal, 100 cars of coal, all the volume of that stuff is in our air every week as it goes to a power station over there someplace. And it's in our common sky, even though it's, you know, and that's just one place. All around the planet, they're still pumping coal into the air.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the effect of suddenly transforming what took millions of years of plant life and algae to accumulate carbon out of our sky and put it into their structure that then deteriorates into coal and oil, and suddenly take millions of years of that natural process and fart it into our sky for all of us to deal with? So, yeah, the snow, the drought, the fires, all this trouble, the pests that are creeping up, the rising seas that are going to really impact other people especially, is a personal and it's a collective challenge that we really should be addressing. And I urge people to, even if they don't understand it, just try to start understanding it, and nonetheless urge their representatives to deliberately try to be responsible and address this enormous thing that humanity is facing now.
Okay.
Thank you for letting me vent and having Vent Stay.
That was a very thorough vent. Thanks for that, Brad. Appreciate it. This is Vent Stay on the Jefferson Exchange, your chance to vent your spleen on a couple of topics in the news. This week's topics, very ably demonstrated by Brad there, climate change and how real you feel it is, if you're still waiting for one other bit of evidence perhaps to convince you, and then what we do about it. And then the other topic is about campaign cash. And certainly a connection can be made between the two. It was once said by smarter people than myself that people will not understand things when misunderstand. It's along the lines of when a person's livelihood depends on him not understanding something or not believing something, that's where they go. And when members of Congress obviously getting campaign cash from people who are not themselves adherents of global warming, don't believe it's happening, well, then you can see what happens. What are your thoughts about how we regulate campaign cash? Is it just out the window, barn door open, horse gone, to be able to regulate campaign spending in this country? Let's get your thoughts on this and on climate change. 800-838-3760 around the region. 800-838-3760. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. George in Wairika, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Thank you so very much, because basically the evidence is all around us about climate change and about campaign financing. The evidence starts with the DET and Rachel Harris's Silent Spring back in the 60s, and the fact that eagles, you were mentioning earlier, had eggshells that could not withstand the brooding process because of DDT. We also have Freon causing sun penetration in the northern and southern hemispheres. And both of those were scientifically brought out and accommodated. However, climate change and campaign financing go to the publicity aspect of this. You have five major news sources, all of which are dependent on, you said earlier, billions of dollars of money, and all of that money, or most of it, is being spent on the same sources that give us our news. And it's to their best interest to obfuscate, I even said that word properly, I think, the climate change and the abilities of people to bring their personal accommodations to the forefront. So basically, we are at the mercy of those who are being financed by the people who have to, as you said moments ago, depend on misinformation. I've got a book here by John L. Casey indicating that the sun is the cause of our climate change right now. It's a hardback book, and the Heritage Foundation is one of the sponsors. I wonder why that is. That's enough sarcasm on my part. Thank you so very much for what you do, independent of finance money and climate change money.
All right. Thanks, George. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange, your chance to vent on climate change and campaign cash. We didn't mean to go for just alliteration in our stuff this week, but that's where we are. Global warming and campaign spending. Let's put it that way. 800-838-3760 around the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Just to illuminate one point that George just brought up, which is about the money that goes to the news media. Having worked in the commercial TV business for the better part of 30 years, I can attest to the fact that TV stations in particular live and die by even-numbered years, because that's when they know there'll be lots of money coming in for commercials. And I must say, since I got into the public media business 5.5 years ago, full-time, I spend a lot less time watching television commercials, and I'm only sort of obliquely aware around election time, oh my God, there are lots and lots and lots of commercials, almost nothing but. I mean, it's sort of the opposite of what you get when you watch a sporting contest and all the ads are for cars and beers and movies. It's nothing but, at the local level, ads for candidates and measures around election time. So it's pretty amazing. Now, whether that actually affects the editorial judgment of the news departments, I would like to believe they're more independent than that. They are insulated somewhat. They're usually in separate parts of the building. And salespeople are not particularly welcome in news departments in the broadcast operations I've worked for. However, the managers certainly know where the money comes from. Whatever sensitivities they might communicate to the news department, that's a possibility. Your thoughts, campaign cash and global warming, the topics on this Vents Day, 800-838-3760, jx@jeffnet.org. Debbie in Talent writes, climate change makes me feel helpless because it's so overwhelming. What can we do? Trying not to drive and moderating home thermostat use seems futile, but what else is there? That's from Debbie in Talent. I know that there's been a fair amount of discussion, certainly from folks like Southern Oregon Climate Action Now. We've had them on a few times. Rogue Climate as well, talking about do things within your own neighborhood. You know, find things to do that can affect your own behavior and your own consumption of fossil fuels just in your own backyard. And let's take some calls here. Evan in Eureka, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. Evan, you there? Okay, that didn't happen. All righty. We have an email here from Tony in Talent. Tony puts a lot of quotes in his email, so I have to work through this slowly. He says, there's a sense of desperation on the part of the, quote, imminent climate apocalypse crowd, close quote, the what he calls, in quotes, the phrenologists of the 21st century. MIT climatologist Professor Richard Lindzen probably said it best. Here's again a quote. As with any cult, once the mythology of the cult begins falling apart, instead of saying, oh, we were wrong, they get more and more fanatical. I think that's what's happening here. Think about it, he said. This is Tony from Talent quoting MIT climatologist Richard Lindzen. You've led an unpleasant life. You haven't led a very virtuous life, but now you're told you get absolution if you watch your carbon footprint. It's salvation. So writes Tony from what he says is a pleasantly warm Talent. Thanks for that, Tony. Lane in Medford, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. Lane, go ahead.
Lane, this is Lane. Yeah, so to me, the very best book on climate change, and some people say it's dated, but I don't think it's dated. I mean, how could it be dated? It's climate change. Anyway, is Mark Linus's book, 6 Degrees, Living on a Hotter Planet. He ended up becoming an advisor to the president of the Maldives until he got overthrown. Anyway, no, because if you read that, each chapter is 1 degree plus C, and if you read that, then what happened in Texas with the drought and then all the flooding, it won't be any surprise at all. Anyway, the other thing on campaign finance, I agree with an earlier caller that to put campaign finance in place, you have to have the votes of the people who are benefiting by the current system. It's like when I served in Korea in the 1970s and you had an extremely corrupt government. How could you take care of corruption when the people were benefiting from the payoffs? So
That's a tricky one. Thank you for calling, Lane. Appreciate it. Let's go to an old friend, Rika, in Grants Pass. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Well, good morning. Glad to be back. You were saying earlier, talking about adherence of climate change.
Uh-huh.
Which makes them sound religious, which it fits.
In what sense?
In that it's a matter of belief without real evidence.
Really? I mean, there's a lot of evidence out there that indicates this is actually not only something that's going to happen, but is happening now, Rika.
Well, climate change happens all the time. And we are having a warmer climate, but it's not because of CO2. It's because we haven't been watering. We've been trying to save water for 30 years, and the results are starting to show. The less moisture you have circulating, the hotter it gets.
Okay, so if we'd been watering more, we wouldn't be experiencing what we're experiencing now with climate change?
Quite likely.
Okay.
But then again, there is the sun. You have to keep that in mind.
Okay, so it's not that you doubt that things are warming. It's just that you disconnect this from the cause that most people point it to.
Well, it's hard to see how a chemical that comprises a whole 400 parts per million, that's 4/10,000ths of a percent.
Okay, so it's the 400 parts per million
of the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually 4/10,000ths or 400ths of a percent.
Okay, Rika, thanks for your thoughts. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you again. Let's see. We have Jay in Waterville writes that the two subjects on today's Vince Day, global warming and campaign cash, are inextricably linked. He writes, the Koch brothers own Weyerhaeuser Timber. Their backroom political control arm is ALEC, ALEC being the American Legislative Exchange Council. This being repeated with the TPP, secret negotiations, TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Jay writes, it is all about fighting environmental regulations and maximizing export of finite natural resources. This is all done via campaign contributions and lobbying. Neo-feudalism, he calls it. That's from Jay in Waterville. This looks like it brings to the end today's Vince Day.